And welcome to The Social Contract, a Commander podcast. I'm Mike Allman, and joining me is my co-host, Alex Lapp. Alex! What's up, man?
Ma'am. You know, it's not too much, Mike, but we are in outlaw country in Thunder Mansion. And that is the set that we are going to do our social set review today. Mike, what is a social set?
Well, social set review?
What does that even mean?
Well, I mean, it means that we're going to do it, which is pretty cool. Okay, hi, buddy. Yeah, right. Nice to talk to you. Right. But it means that, like, hey, if you want to talk about the new Obeka, hey, super excited about
that's
it.
Really
I want to
cool
talk
part.
To you about that. That's not what we're talking about, though, because that's a lot of stuff that you get to do that maybe does stuff with other people.
Right.
We're going to be talking about the, you know, the political cards, the group hug cards, the stacked cards, the pieces where we are interacting with not just what's on the table, but with the people that are at the table. We're going to try and get everybody involved with a whole bunch of different cool cards. Decent amount of cards that we're going to talk about today. Might be a two-parter, might be one-parter. Either way, buckle up, saddle up. I guess we need to start working
giddy
on
up.
The... yeah, giddy up. I need to work on the phrasing. My Midwestern is really disappointing me right now. But... that said, I'm going to get better, and if you want to hang out with us through that, you can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/socialcontractEDH or search for The Social Contract in the bar at their homepage. You can also check out the show notes for a direct link there and a direct link to our Discord server. There it's easy to ask Judge Alex for rules questions, look at cards that are fun and entirely underutilized in our can I see that section, as well as suggest topics for this show. But today, like you said, we're in outlaw country. We're going to start with the white color.
Yes.
Let's just get right into it. We have Aven Interrupter, one white for a 2/2 bird rogue with flash and flying. Okay? So, 3 mana, flash flying, 2/2. When Aven Interrupter enters the battlefield, exile target spell, it becomes plotted. We've already hit a new mechanic. As a reminder text, plotted. Its owner may cast it as a sorcery on a later turn without paying its mana cost. And spells your opponents cast from graveyards or from exile cost 2 more to cast. Okay. This is a pretty cool card.
Okay.
We're starting strong.
This is a counter spell.
It is. Because
it's not
you
just
are
a counter spell either.
Yeah.
So we've got so many wrinkles here. Number one, obviously it has to have flash because it's interacting with an object on the stack.
Right.
And what is it doing to that object on the stack? It's
exiling it.
Spell.
Right.
Well, that's a little bit different from a counter spell, right? Because some spells say this spell can't be countered. Exile says, nah, I don't care about that. We're just going to exile it anyway. It doesn't matter. We're not technically countering it, so it doesn't count. When you exile it, it becomes plotted. That kind of hides the fact that it's going to come back or can come back.
Right.
It's like remanding it. And they get to cast it again, but not right now. They can't just
at sorcery speed.
Right, at sorcery
speed.
On a
later turn. On
a later turn. They cannot just do it that same turn, so you have bought yourself a little bit of time.
And the good news with it being, hey, you know, you can pay – you invested probably to cast this spell. I'm going to counter it. But good news, you get to play it later. It's all good. You're not even going to have to pay for it twice. You are, however, going to have to pay 2 more.
You're going to have to pay the tax.
Yeah.
And 2 more than 0 is 2.
Okay. Alex, I think this is... wow. This is a strong card to start with.
We're a long way from the days of 5 years hence when...
right.
You know, we're like, eh, I guess technically this white card is like almost a social card. No, we're like,
right.
Boom. we have counter magic. We got a hate bear. It's flashing in, like, right off to the gates. Interesting stuff, Mike.
It's a hate card. It's all those things. And it's like, I like this card. So, like, there you go. I've grown as a person.
Is a hate bear. You understand
I know.
That?
It's a cool card, though. Because it's not saying, no, you don't get to blank. It's saying, if you do a certain niche thing that usually takes advantage of... you know, lower mana cost or availability is like, oh, I'm going to cast things from exile and I get benefits from that. Like, the stuff that's like, hey, I'm going to try and take the synergies and just make them a little bit more expensive as opposed to like everything that everybody does. It's something that on the card, what it does enables the, this is a cool design card.
Yes.
We have 39 or something like that to go through, but love that one. We need some bovine intervention here. One and a white for an instant.
So silly.
I love this so much. Destroy target.
Bovine intervention.
Destroy target artifact or creature. Its controller creates a 2/2 white ox creature token.
Perfect. The consolation prize, Mike.
Glorious. I'm so happy it's an uncommon.
Two
so
mana,
there's like
instant speed.
Artifact
or creature. And they get a 2/2.
So good. Awesome flavor text. No one can prove the ox did it, but no one tried to harness it again either. So good. That's a great card. I'm glad for, I mean, like white is kind of the target.
That's
like
a generous gift. Now, obviously it's not going to hit everything. It only hits two different permanent types, but it is cheaper.
Yeah.
And it is going to be cheaper on the money side too, of course.
Yep. Love it. Now we start getting into the modal cards that aren't modal cards here.
This mechanic has confused a lot of people. So we'll talk about it.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk about this with you. Yep. It's our first spree card. Final Showdown, which you cast is an instant that you cast for white plus, and has the text spree as rules reminder text, choose one or more additional costs. So for plus one colorless, all creatures lose abilities until end of turn. For plus one colorless, choose a creature you control. It gains indestructible until end of turn. And for plus three white, destroy all creatures. So,
Holy moly.
Yeah, this is when we talk about the ability to do multiple things on a card. Here we go. So I'm going to take my stab at Spree, and then you just because you said people have been a little bit confused. Yeah. So you pay the cost on the card as you normally would, and then you pay additional costs based on the actual effects that you also want to get that the card has available. You can choose one of those things, or you can choose multiple of those things. So in this example where I have plus one, choose a creature you control, it gains indestructible until end of turn. If I want to do that, I would pay a white for the regular cost and a colorless. If I also wanted to destroy all creatures, I would pay an additional three white. So I would pay seven mana to make one creature I control indestructible until end of turn and then destroy all other creatures. Have I got it?
Yeah, that's basically it. For
I've graduated, everybody. Absolutely. It took 3 years of this podcast, but now I know how to read a Magic card sometimes.
The thing that really throws people about this is that little plus sign in the mana cost.
And yeah.
I think that's a blessing and a curse because it's good that people notice it because it is important. It's not just a decorational flair.
Yeah.
When you look in that mana cost of a spree card and you see that little plus icon, that is indicating to you that you will never cast this spell for just its casting cost. That is not allowed. You must pick one or more additional costs that are listed on the spree list, and that means that no matter what, you're not casting Final Showdown for white. It's not allowed. You're at least casting it for one and a white and possibly up to five white.
Yeah, I think the video, I believe it was Gavin recently, it was like, everything is kicker. Let's be real. Just like everything is kicker. This is just kicker. And that's the only, like, just look at it that way. It's kicker, but there's multiple different things that you could kick.
Does that make sense? That's a judge joke. He's not allowed to make that joke. He's making these cards.
Oh, that's fair. Well, we'll get on him for
that. Let's
talk
about this card itself. Yeah, the card itself. Spree. Let's talk about Final Showdown.
So here's,
this is a modal board wipe. And you know I like those.
It's a modal board wipe, which like six mana destroy all creatures. It's up there. Seven mana destroy all creatures but your creature. That's still
like
a lot. You can
Ruinous Blast, like it's
But two mana all creatures lose all abilities until end of turn on that same card. I really, really like that.
Right. I mean, you can turn this into like Hour of Revelation.
Yeah.
And like. Lose all abilities means they lose indestructible, they lose protection, they lose anything that would
activate it, triggered anything.
This.
Yeah. And if I'm just sitting there and somebody is going to win the game, hey, great. I'm going to pay two mana and this creature that you were going to win the game with right now, it's going to lose all abilities until end of turn.
Another thing you got to keep in mind, Mike, this is instant speed. Instant speed board wipes cost a lot more than sorcery.
That's a good call. That's a good call.
If you wanted route, you're only paying one mana less
Yeah.
And you also and you have other stuff. Extra modes.
Right. That's pretty cool. I mean, if you played Rout, but I'm going to pay two extra mana and I'm going to save one of my creatures.
Yeah, I think Rout is ends up being what?
Is it 5 mana or 6 mana? I don't remember which. I can.
I think it's one less than casting this as a straight up board wipe, which makes sense because that is a non-modal spell. Although it is kind of a modal, right? You choose between sorcery and instant speed.
I mean, it's 7 mana to cast it if it has flesh. So it's 5 white-white. So frankly, it's, yeah. Holy cow. That's pretty cool.
And this you're doing for 3 triple white.
Yeah. Which, you know, harder cost, but lower cost. I like that.
Right, yeah. This is really good. Like, you're getting that humility. You're making it very difficult for your opponent's creatures to survive this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also put, you know, that specific kind of board wipe where you're saving one creature. That can be really good, right? I mean, that's going to give you a leg up. I think this is very powerful, and you just have to keep in mind, right? You're paying the modal cost, and you're paying the instant speed cost, and you're still coming out looking pretty reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because this is a mythic.
And see, I was sitting here going, like, you know what? We're you and I are focusing on two different things, but we both like this card a lot. I'm thinking of, like, oh, I'm being attacked by a Blightsteel Colossus, I'm going to pay 2 mana and it's going to lose intact, which is great. Yeah, now I'm being attacked by, I mean, it's an 11-11, sure, but, like, I'll take 11 as opposed to one. Yeah, it was like, oh, wait, I can also just blow it up. That's pretty cool. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have come up with interesting thoughts. One that I heard that's a really fun idea is if you imprint this on an Isochron Scepter, which is allowed because Isochron Scepter is looking for 2 mana or less on an instant.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to use it, you're still going to need to pay those
additional costs.
Spree costs, but that still means that you have the option to board wipe every turn, Mike.
Yeah. Well, I mean, great. I have a 2 mana repeatable... any of these things,
yeah.
As long as I pay the additional cost.
How many cards can you imprint on Isochron Scepter that give you the option for humility or a board wipe? I think this is the only one.
That's fair. Very cool. Let's talk about our next spree card here. Getaway Glamour. Glamour. Thank you. White for an instant with spree. Choose one more additional cost. Again, we can pay an additional colorless to exile target non-token creature, return it to the battlefield and under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step, so a blink. We also have +2 colorless mana. Destroy target creature if no other creature has greater power. Okay.
Now, I don't want to be opinion about this, Mike, but these are generic mana costs. You do not need to pay colorless to pay.
Correct. Yes, generic. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification there. That would have been very awkward in our white set. It's white and then specifically colorless. Listen, that's a niche.
A lot of colorless mana. Like, where am I? What?
Yeah. No. Generic mana. Okay. No, so we're paying up to 4 to me, here.
This is giving like, you know, like pocket sand, like disappearing in the smoke. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And well, I'm going to blink something somewhere. Protect my own thing, make something else go away that was going to attack me, or again, destroy the target creature if no other creature has a greater power. I mean, ideally, you're not trying to blink something away to destroy something else, but you can.
Well, isn't that the coolest thing about it? Is that if there's something you want to get, like this is a very nice situation.
Right.
If there's something you want to hit, it doesn't have the highest power, but it has the second highest power, you can say, just blink that higher power one, and now I can target this one that now has the highest power.
Well, I mean, and we talk a lot about how, like, we like some cards, but, man, it's really, really niche. The idea of making basically modal cards, these spree cards, where it's like, hey, these are niche situations, but here's 3 different niche situations. Here's 2 different niche situations where either one of these is useful at attacks, right? So yes. I like this. I like this mechanic a lot so far.
Yeah, spree is giving you a lot of flexibility. It's not punishing you super hard on the cost. Obviously, you do need to be aware that you're paying the modal tax, and we've talked about this, because you have so many options, you need to be prepared to pay more. Because what you're doing is you're not saving on mana cost, you're saving on card slots in your deck, which is a far more valuable resource.
Let's talk about our next one here. High Noon, one and a white for an enchantment. It's a Boros card. We're going to get there. But I'd rather get it here than accidentally forget it because it's cool.
Card, Mike.
You what?
I have words about this card. Go on.
Okay, I'm happy to hear him. One and a white for an enchantment. Each player can't cast more than one spell each turn.
Ah. Yep.
Okay. But it also has four and a red, sacrifice High Noon. It deals 5 damage to any target.
All right. That's, so here's the problem.
This is a mean card, dude.
Here's the problem. Why does adding red, not even to the spell's mana cost, just to the color identity? So just adding on an extra ability to deal 5 damage to any target. Why does that reduce the cost of this well-known costed stats effect that costs 3? We know this costs 3. It always costs 2 and a white or 1 double white.
Mm-hmm.
We have like 2 or 3 of these already. Each player can only cast 1 spell each turn. That is very like Aura of Silence, whatever stacks piece you have that does this.
Yeah.
It costs 3 at least. This costs 2 and also it has a bonus. This is so like this is just better. This is just this better, is
real,
Mike.
It's a real good card. It's a real good card.
You're locking down people, and you have this rattlesnake, and it's like, well, that doesn't look so numb. Just blow that creature up, no problem.
Yeah. Well, not even just that. It's, all right, great. I don't have a great play right now, so I'm going to slow down the entire table for a round. Great. Okay, we'll see what I draw. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm going to take this.
Built-in removal of itself.
Yeah.
Like, that can start to be a problem, especially like you've eliminated all the other players.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've eliminated the problem player and now you kind of want to play Magic again, but you have to find a way to remove your own stacks piece.
It's not, okay, it's not a one-to-one metaphor, so totally take that out of the mix. But, like, the idea of the, okay, I'm going to play Cyclonic Rift at this person's end step, and then I'm going to have a whole bunch of stuff, and they're going to be completely empty. The idea of, like, okay, I've got this Rattlesnake on board at the same time that it is a stacks piece. Everybody's only going to be able to play one spell, and then when I get to the right moment, I'm going to blow this up when I have the capability or potential to cast a whole lot of spells, and I'm going to get that
on your opponent's end step.
Exactly. The slingshot to move forward. Very cool. Very powerful. And by cool, I mean, I don't know how I feel about it, but I acknowledge its power. Next one here, Mystical Tether. 2 and a white for an enchantment. You may cast Mystical Tether as though it has flash if you pay 2 more to cast it. When Mystical Tether enters the battlefield, exile target artifact or creature an opponent controls until Mystical Tether leaves the battlefield. So we have an O-ring.
Yep, O-ring.
But we can pay 2 more to cast it at flash speed.
Yeah, now that's the interesting thing, right, is that most O-rings are not flash speed, and they do cost 3. So to have an O-ring that costs 3, and it has a kicker for flash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I guess
an artifact or a creature in opponent controls, but...
Right, yeah, it's a little bit more narrow, but not enough to where, you know, it's... It's a
flash
common.
O-ring.
Like, this is a cool card.
That turns O-ring into a true spot removal, something that you can actually respond with.
Yeah. And I mean, O-ring, depending on when you're, what you're casting it on, like, that gives somebody an entire turn where they know it's going to come back to their turn. And okay, do I have a way to get rid of this? Can I think of a way to get rid of this? Where if you're casting it at flash speed, cool, it's done. You were probably relying on that thing existing on the battlefield when this was being cast. So it's a very good yes, but.
And just to be clear, I know this kind of thing always comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Do I get to do O-ring shenanigans with this card? No, not this one, because this is a single combined trigger. If you don't know what O-ring shenanigans are, when the triggers are separate, you can stack them in such a way, as long as you have multiple such effects, that allow you to permanently exile the target simply by making it leave before the trigger of... leave before it enters, right? You stack them in such a way as to gain an advantage. You can't do that with this. This is the lockdown new version.
And if you don't know that the way that you would do that stuff, you're just
don't
like
worry
me,
about it.
And that's okay. It's fine. We're good people. Next one here, another spree card. I think this might be my favorite so far. I haven't decided.
Really?
I really like this. Requisition Raid, white for a sorcery with spree. For an additional generic mana, destroy target artifact. For an additional generic mana, destroy target enchantment. For an additional generic mana, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature target player controls.
That's a lot of options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 3 mana, blow 2 things up. 4 mana, blow 2 things up and pump all your steam. I like that. I mean,
you really do get to have your pick of the litter. Like, somebody has two problems, two people have one problem. You mm-hmm. want to give some gifts to yourself or to somebody else. You got options here, Mike.
I like the target removal pieces that I can put in a specific deck and just go like, oh, this makes this deck better. Yeah, like, all right, Disenchant is cool. Man, I do kind of want to put this in there just because it's fun. You know, like, yeah, and I mean, this...
It's good to have removal that is on mm-hmm. theme. And if you're in a +1/+1 counter deck, this is now a +1/+1 counter themed removal piece.
Yeah, like, this is sorcery speed, and I understand the absolute bummer of, yeah, all right, target speed. Removal, yep. sorcery speed. Yep. But
you're getting it pretty cheap.
Yeah, like, what is the, is it Return to Dust, which is the one where
Return
if you cast it on
is,
your...
Return to Dust is 4, and if you cast yeah. it on your turn, basically as a sorcery,
you hit two things,
turn,
right?
Then you can get two. You okay. can get exile, an artifact, an enchantment, or two of one or two of the other. But
right.
not this one. This is not exile. This is not an instant.
Nope.
And you're right. This is competing with things like Return to Dust.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it. That's what we got for white. We're going to talk about our first legendary creature here, and we're going to move on to blue. Fibblethip, lost on the range, 1BB for a 1/1 homunculus with ward 2. You may look at the top card of your library at any time. The top card of your library has plot. The plot is equal to its mana cost. We'll talk about plot in a second. You may plot non-land cards from the top of your library. So before we get into this potential commander, this cool little homunculus, describe plot to us, Alex.
Yep. If you remember Fortell, plot and Fortell are somewhat similar.
Okay.
Now, plot is even more aligned with what we would be looking for than Fortell is. If you remember, Fortell from a previous set allowed you to pay a cost, exile a card face down, and then mm-hmm. pay a reduced cost later, either instant or sorcery speed, depending on what the card was.
I think it was 2 generic mana to put it aside face right. down, and then it had its own cost when you were
the important difference is
casting
that,
it. Yeah.
Is that Fortell, which is not in this set, exiled mm-hmm. face down. Plot, which oh. is in the set, exiles face up. It doesn't say face up, but it says exile, which is face up.
I do like that.
Because it's
okay.
exiled face up, that means that everyone else is allowed to look at it. And what does
yeah.
that mean, Mike? That means everyone knows what spell you're about to resolve next.
Right.
Which means the entire air at the table, the flavor of the game, is now based around what Mike is packing.
Yeah. Which is cool. It's
very cool.
It's next boss monster if you're the arch enemy at the time. It's also like, what do we get to look forward to if you're playing like a group hug deck or something like that? Where, hey, this is what could be coming up next.
Now
it could be Rattlesnakes. It could be terrible. It could be great.
You cannot plot and then cast it that same turn.
Right.
You
right.
must wait until a later turn. And since it's sorcery, that means you have to wait until your next turn.
I mean, the idea of now let's get to this card. So you can plot cards away from the top of your library
yes.
by paying its mana cost. Whew. Okay. I mean, that seems like a pretty good way to be able to dig through stuff and have it all out there. But I mean,
one little wrinkle is if the spell can't be if it's a land, then
yeah,
that's
same.
You're, just,
yeah.
you're stuck. You would want
right.
to have something like maybe a Mystic Forge or some other kind of top deck manipulation
mm-hmm.
in this deck that would allow you to say, oh, I hit a land. I can't plot that. What am I going to do with that? So I guess I'll draw a card.
Right. That's not bad. I like that. That'd be pretty cool for a show and tell deck. It'd be suspend deck, stuff like that, where I'm putting everything to the side. It's all over here. And we'll see.
About this card.
Okay.
Fibblethip's Epitaph, Lost on the Range, LOTR. Is that related to Lord of the Rings?
Wait, did you do the Doctor Who theme song after the Lord of the Rings, or did it just
no, that's
did
like
it just
X-Files.
Come out that way to me? Okay,
like
cool. Okay, sorry. I'm completely mixing up my sci-fi
cult
classics.
It's very funny to think like that. These sets were probably designed in entirely separate wings
yeah.
and had very limited crosstalk and like
right.
oh, well. You know, a year later, I'm going to come out with a card that's Fibblethip, Lord of the Rings, but I'll call it something else. No, this conspiracy theory makes no sense to me.
No, most things in Magic don't make sense to me, but it's okay. Metamorphic Blast, blue for an instant with Spree. It's back for a generic mana. until end of turn, target creature becomes a white rabbit with base power and toughness 0/1 for 3 generic mana. Target player draws 2 cards. Okay, 2 mana, turn something into an 0/1 until end of turn. And for for an additional 3 mana, target player draws 2 cards. Yeah, I have to repeat this multiple times here.
Soft spot removal happening, which basically is kind of a sudden spoiling effect. Now, you don't remove the abilities, but you are removing its, maybe it has a high value for its power and toughness that's making it scary. Mm-hmm. That's going to make this useful during combat, or maybe you have another effect that allows you to remove maybe a damage spell that only does so much damage, and then you can kill it once it's a rabbit. And then on top of that, you have this targeted draw effect. You can use that for yourself and go positive on cards. You can spread the love on that one. I mean, it's this, you got options, Mike.
I have a silly question on this real quick.
Yeah.
If I have a, let's say it's a 5/5 and it goes into combat, it's got 4 damage marked on it, and then I turn it into an 0/1. Does that damage that's marked on it kill it at that point?
Yeah, it does.
Cool. Okay. So this is just a cool, all right, by the way, that's dead actually.
The state-based action is checking to see if it has as much or more damage marked on it than is equal to its toughness. And if it does, then it dies due to having too much damage marked on it.
So the way that I'd look at this card, and let's, the highest upside, would I pay 5 mana to draw 2 cards and remove a threat? Yeah. Cool. At the low tier.
Modal tax for you.
Yeah. I love that. That's great. Next card here, Shackle Slinger, 2 and a blue for a 3/2 human soldier. Whenever you cast your second spell, each turn, choose target creature and opponent controls. If it's tapped, put a stun counter on it. Otherwise, tap it. As a reminder, if a permanent with a stun counter would become untapped, remove one from it instead.
This is a cool stacks piece, Mike.
It is.
You're a spell slinger. You're throwing your handcuffs like a real deputy. Yeah.
I like that it's cast your second spell on each turn. So if you're really trying to storm off, if you're trying to cantrip it up,
You're taking your turn 4 times on the go round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, like, I know that upside is super limited, but if I can cast 4 spells, 2 at instant speed on somebody's turn, all right, I'm going to tap this thing and then I'm going to stun it on the next turn.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely want to be in, if not a storm deck, a spell slinger deck where you have lots of low cost spells, maybe like style of counter spells, cantrips, things that you just kind of pop off. And as you do, you now have this ability to put stun counters, which basically says if this permanent would become untapped, instead remove a stun counter.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Just great effect. Yep.
I like it. Shifting Grift, blue for a sorcery with spree. Cool. Yeah. We're having fun now. All right. So for an additional 2 generic mana, exchange control of 2 target creatures. For an additional generic mana, exchange control of 2 target artifacts. For an additional generic mana, exchange control of 2 target enchantments.
Oh, Mike, shenanigans.
So this is a 6 mana. Zedru is having just a great time.
You don't need to be in Zedru to enjoy this.
No, but I love this. The
board with something like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Holy cow. Okay.
You can change your treasure out for somebody's big mana rock or their Blightsteel Colossus. You can trade in your what have you, any little token creature for their commander. Exchanging control of things is very powerful because, I mean, if you talk about the commander, for example, if you've exchanged control of the commander, they can't send it back to the command zone. It hasn't left the battlefield. So
right.
Now that's a big problem for them.
I'm actually happy this is a sorcery. It'd be a little bit too strong for me at instant speed. Even if it was like higher mana cost, I'd be uncomfortable with it.
A lot of these we've been talking about are uncommons and even commons, and still the mana cost seems reasonable.
Reasonable, yeah. It seems more like the, oh man, this is an uncommon, and it's a sorcery. Oh, this is an uncommon. Oh, it's a sorcery. And it's like, you know what? I like that. You know, if it was any less expensive, or if it was any faster, I think it would make me uncomfortable. This is good designs.
You
like
do really have to, like, we can talk about how sorcery spot removal or sorcery control of the board is okay, but you would want to limit, or at least you do want to have instant speed removal for threats, because
for sure,
yes, sorcery's okay. You can deal with them in time, but I think you'll find that if most of your removal is sorcerer speed, that you're going to be like, dang, I really wish I could use that right now when they're about to win the game. And you can't.
The way that I typically look at it is instant speed is I have to get rid of a threat. Sorcery speed is I need to gain something. So yeah.
You'll
when
definitely
they start
gain something with this.
And that's the point.
And
like,
you can
when,
not just rotate it to you. You can start giving things to other people. Like, yeah. Hey, why don't you take this? And it's like, are they mad at you who control the spell, or are they mad at the person who now owns their thing? I don't
and
know.
Either way, and either way, you've probably made a friend at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay, our next one here. Smirking Spelljacker, 4 and a blue for a Djinn Wizard Rogue. We're doing that thing where things are way too many creature types at the same time for me. 3/3 with flying and flash. When Smirking Spelljacker enters the battlefield, exile target spell and opponent controls. Whenever Smirking Spelljacker attacks, if a card is exiled with it, you may cast the exiled card without paying its mana cost.
Yeah, that's a kind
that's
of
that's nuts.
That's spell thievery.
Well, yeah, it's spell thievery, and I mean blink it, because it doesn't say until it leaves the battlefield.
Yeah, this is not an O-ring, so you have it come in, get the ETB effect, steals the spell. It doesn't go back to them when she leaves.
That's nuts. okay, cool. I don't have a lot to say about it. It's very cool. All right, I'm a 5-mana counter spell. Cast it when it attacks.
That's it. Like it's not just the counter spell and cast it when it attacks. Right when you've hit a spell with this.
Yeah.
Now you have this rattlesnake of when I next attack, this mm-hmm. spell is coming, and you know that.
Yeah, no, this is all upside here. Yeah, no downside here. I'm exiling a spell. So at the worst case scenario, the creature gets removed before I get to attack with it.
That's
okay.
A 3/3 flash flyer. This can be used to flash in for blocks.
For sure. No, I like it. Next one in blue here. Step Between Worlds. 3 blue-blue for a sorcery. Each player may shuffle their hand and graveyard into their library. Each player who does draws 7 cards, exile Step Between Worlds. It also has plot for 4 blue-blue. You may pay 4 blue-blue and exile this card from your hand, cast it as a sorcery on a later turn without paying its mana cost. Plot only as a sorcery.
Yeah,
cool.
So wheels are wheels, Mike. Like, wheels, yeah. Wheels are okay. Like, they're very powerful, but we've seen them. Now,
yep.
This has...
May!
Yeah, May, yes. We have seen wheels that are optional. Having an optional wheel that makes it a lot more group huggy, a lot more political, mm-hmm. You're not forcing people to mulligan their hand, which is nice. But now you have this additional wrinkle of you can plot this, and now people have to sit there wonder like, should I not care about what's in my hand? Like, when are mm-hmm. they going to cast this? Should I expect to be drawing a fresh hand, so I should empty out my hand? But then they don't right. cast it, and now I'm hell bent. Like, there's a lot of interesting things that can happen with this, Mike.
It's very cool. I do like it as far as it puts it out there. Hey, what kind of game do we want to have? Does anybody want to have a conversation? What are we doing here? Very cool. Next one. This town ain't big enough.
This town ain't big enough. Really too,
so far, my favorite named card. No, never mind. Bovine Intervention does exist. Bovine my second favorite card. Forward a blue for an instant. This spell costs 3 less to cast if it targets a permanent you control. Return up to 2 target non-land permanents to their owner's hands. Oh, my.
Yeah. So you this is a modal spell. You can hit 2 of your opponent's things for 5. Or you can bounce one of yours and one of your opponent's, and you're paying 1 and a blue.
Huh.
Instant speed.
I love this. I've started to try and get into blink decks and then into bounce and then replay stuff decks. I made a Seerdan deck that I've kind of enjoyed a lot. So
yeah,
the idea
I think
of
we made a Seerdan deck together as well,
and we've made one together. Yeah,
yeah.
I took that. I made a couple of me specific
yeah.
tweaks. But the idea of like, okay, cool. I'm gonna bounce this thing that I don't like and this thing that I do
but
like, and I'm gonna do it again.
So you can replay them.
Right. Exactly. And that's I did
this.
Holy
in,
cow!
In Seerdan, this is both upside for your commander and spot
yep.
removal.
Yep, this is really good.
That's good. That's good.
And worst case scenario, 5 mana bounce 2 things before they become
that's,
like I'm
that's
gonna
not
die.
Like 5 mana bounce 2 things. That's I mean, if they're important enough,
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't feel good to do that.
No, it doesn't.
If this is in your deck, it's because you want to bounce your own stuff. However.
You can get two bounces for cheaper than that.
Yeah.
If it's just your opponent.
It's cool. I like it. Three steps ahead. Blue for an instant with Spree. A generic and a blue counter target spell. For three generic, create a token that's a copy of target artifact or creature you control. And for two generic, draw two cards, then discard a card.
Yeah, this is a proper modal spell, Mike. This is really covering your bases here.
Yeah.
You have so much you can do. You have a counter spell, and yes, it does have the cancel cost. It's three mana instead of two. However, you have these extra modes. Let's talk about them.
So, three mana, create a token that's a copy of target artifact or creature you control.
You can
is always terrifying.
Value positive on that. Like, make a copy of something really juicy. You can make a copy of a mana rock, and all of a sudden you have all this extra mana.
Right.
Like, you can really make some interesting choices with that.
Yeah. Are there busted artifacts or creatures in this game? If so, feels like this card could do good. Two mana, draw two cards, then discard a card.
You have draw a card and loot. Yeah.
Yeah. Three mana isn't too bad. You know, I'm okay with that. If three mana counter target spell, three mana, draw, you know, as far as the separate individual
four
pieces.
Four mana make a copy.
Yeah. Those aren't ideal. The four mana make a copy of something isn't actually bad at all. Like that just seems kind of like, I know there's a couple of, like, there's a few like two and a blue make a copy things. So one more in the modal, the spree of it all. Not bad. I like this card. All right.
Yeah, it's good to have. I mean, we've talked about counter spells that really try to stack that value on and that causes the counter spell to increase in cost dramatically. And you have these really big blowout counter spells that cost four or five or even six mana. And that can be really dangerous to hold up because what if you don't hit the big thing? Well, here you have a modal spell where you can spend that mana as you see fit. Even if you don't need to counter anything, now you can make copies, you can draw cards.
Yeah, I almost look at this as if I put this into a deck, I'm probably going to consider this a four mana create a clone of something or a token.
But it's also in your counter magic column.
But if somebody I'm holding this four mana up so I can make this copy and then untap with it and be able to do cool stuff on my turn. Ooh, but somebody's casting a Psych Rift. Well, I'm going to do this instead. And it's on the same card. I like it.
As someone who loves hugs, right? Like it feels painful to have a counterspell in the deck that doesn't have any other effect on it that's interesting. Like obviously Arcane Denial and Swansong are the first two counterspells in my deck.
Yeah.
But then if I want to run 5-7 counterspells, am I really just gonna go with Mana Drain, Counterspell, like all the usual fare? Boring. No, stuff like this is cool.
I get you. You could be like me and just not have any counter spells and then
we've talked about your deck construction style and
I want everybody to do their own stuff. I'm just really good at me doing my stuff. I don't understand the problem. Speaking of not understanding the problem, let's move on to red. Cataclysmic Prospecting. X red for a sorcery. Cataclysmic Prospecting deals X damage to each creature for each mana spent from a desert. To cast the spell, create a tapped treasure token. Huh.
Yeah, so we have seen deserts come back, and there is a whole cycle of deserts as well as several utility deserts in this set.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as far as dual lands, they're, you know, they enter tapped, they're untyped other than the desert type, they don't have basic land types, and they tap for two different kinds of mana, and then I think they have when they enter, they ping an opponent for one.
Yeah, something like that.
But to me, what's interesting about having more deserts, Mike, is that with more deserts that are worth playing, you have more deserts to feed to Scavenging Grounds, which is a land that is the generic colorless version of Bajuka Bog that can hit all graveyards. Now, it functions completely self-contained. If you don't have any other deserts, you just sacrifice that. However, if you have other deserts, maybe because you're running some of them from this set, well, now you can use Scavenging Grounds multiple times.
Yeah.
So those are cool deserts. But if you are running deserts for whatever reason, you can start to get mana refunded from this spell.
It's very cool. I mean, I like X spells that deal damage to each. I always like those. It feels good for a board wipe to be, you know, how much is it worth it to you? And more importantly, like, what are you trying to protect here? So the upside on anything like that, cool with me. I like narrow. This is a thing that can be in any deck. It is better in this type of
deck.
But
in a desert deck, you could be paying very little to nothing.
Yeah. I'm going to pay 2 red. Then I'm going to tap a whole bunch of these and make a treasure token for each one that I tapped and also hurt everybody.
Yikes.
Next one, we're going to go... Man, red's got some mythics here.
Sure does.
Generous Plunderer. Oh, Alex, I like the word generous in here so far.
Yes.
One in a red for a 2/2 human rogue with menace at the beginning of your upkeep. You may create a treasure token. When you do, target opponent creates a tap treasure token. Oh, no. There it is. When Generous Plunderer attacks, it deals damage to defending player equal to the number of artifacts they control.
Mike,
this is a 2-mana menace 2/2 that hurts artifacts and makes stuff.
This is our card all over. We are giving out the gifts. We're giving something to ourselves. We're giving the gift to someone else. But also, we got the leash, and we can yank that leash.
I mean, depending on which version of this you get, that's not too bad either. It's like a $5 card right now, and that'll go down, I'm assuming, a little bit.
I mean, you're noticing these are mythics. These are from the the big score set. So those are all mythics.
Yeah. It's very cool. I like this card a lot.
It's super cool, and it's very aggressively costed. At the beginning of your upkeep, gain a treasure and give an opponent a treasure. Like, wow, that is so cool.
Get your Obeka, Descent into Avernus, make your Generous Plunder, all that stuff. Let's just go. Honestly, enchantment
that said at the beginning of your upkeep, make a treasure and an opponent makes a treasure.
Yeah, we do that. Yeah.
And this is better than that.
Yeah. I like that it's strong. I like that it can get through to do its thing a little bit easier. It's not aggressive. I mean, it's extremely aggressively costed.
Yes.
And it's removable. Like, if it really becomes a threat to somebody who has a lot of artifacts, If somebody is running a blue artifacts matter deck, if they're Urza and you're just making this thing swing in, okay, great, remove it. You know, I like that. That's very cool. Next one here, Memory Vessel, 3 red for an artifact. Tap and exile Memory Vessel. Each player exiles the top 7 cards of their library until your next turn. Players may play cards they exiled this way, and they can't play cards from their hand. Activate only as a sorcery. Ooh.
Yeah, this is going to be Memory Jar. But
yeah. That's very cool.
This is a really cool one because it's like, you're locking down their hand. If you know they have something in their hand that's either going to win them the game or stop them from winning the game.
Yeah.
This is quite a bit nicer than making them discard their hand because they will get that back. But right now, I said, no, you need to play with what you draw at random.
All right, Alex, our last card in red here specifically, Territory Forge, 4 and a red for an artifact. When Territory Forge enters the battlefield, if you cast it, exile target artifact or land. Ooh, interesting. Territory Forge has all activated abilities of the exiled card.
Yeah, we've got Thorn Ring Cross with Marisol the Pretender here.
This is holy so cool. cow. Yeah.
And it's not
wow, that's
like,
a beater.
It's an artifact O-Ring.
Well, I mean, like, the worst case scenario. Okay, great. I'm going to take this land away from you and I'll ramp myself a little bit.
I think I'll take that Gaia's Cradle. Ooh, look at that. Look at that.
And, oh, okay, great. You've got a Mana Crypt. I'd like that, please. Like, that's a pretty good switch effect.
Now, to be clear, this is not a traditional O-ring where things come back when this gets removed.
No,
this
it's exiled
permanently.
And this thing just happens to have the abilities of said exiled card. So
you're
basically taking a thing that is worth removing from the board, removing it, and then placing on the battlefield something that is worth removing.
Yeah, you're basically stealing it from them, but they can never get it back.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Last card here we're going to talk about for green, first and last. We're going to talk about Betrayal at the Vault. 4 green for an instant. Target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to each of 2 other target creatures.
Yeah, okay. this is pretty much how green does creature spot removal, is they'll do a fight.
Do a fight.
Deals damage equal to its power,
mm-hmm.
which is a little bit better than fight.
We like the one, we like it when it's the creature deals damage, but it's not being dealt back. That means great. If it's a death touch creature, cool. It doesn't matter how
big
it is.
If it's a big boy, then that's 6 mana. You just blew up 2 creatures.
Yeah, it's but this also has
but, I mean,
it's a little expensive. Yeah, it does have that kind of decimate effect too, where it's like, oh no, there's one creature I have to remove, and this is the only fight thing. No, it says two other creatures, target creatures. So I have to have both of those things to hit, correct?
Each of two other target creatures. There must be two other target creatures besides yours. Otherwise, the spell's not legal to cast.
Fair enough. Not bad. Not bad for green. I'll tell you what. We're rolling here. We were deciding whether or not we were going to do two episodes. Good time. One.
I think we're doing this. Right yeah. The rest of this set.
Okay, which is good because holy cow.
Do we have black cards?
Which, like, I like in an outlaw-based, like, theme. Right? I kind of like there to be like...
the outlaws are committing a crime or...
No, just plots so far. Plots and sprees. We're not going to get to it for our next card here, but it is a cool looking card. Binding Negotiation. One and a black for a sorcery. Target opponent reveals their hand. You may choose a non-land card from it. If you do, they discard it. Otherwise, you may put up... You may put a face-up exiled card they own into their graveyard. Okay, hold on. Look at an opponent's hand, choose a non-land card.
A little confused.
If you do, they discard it. Okay, so two mana, make them discard a non-land.
Yeah, that's Thoughtseize.
If you don't, you may take a face-up exiled card they own. You may put a face-up exiled card they own into their graveyard. Okay, so if they have a plotted card.
Or suspend, or similar effect.
Got it.
And
so
that is basically saying you do not get to plot or suspend this. It just goes to your graveyard.
Okay. Okay. It took me a second. Sorry. I recognize all the words individually
right. No,
in that
I get
sentence.
You. It's a little because why would you want to do that? It's because of these mechanics. Right. You have a 2 mana sorcery speed Thoughtseize, and on top of that, you have if they have anything for suspend or spree, or I mean, if you think about it, you could use this the other way. What if somebody has exiled something that they had, and you cut a deal to give them that exiled thing back? What a deal, right? You can't normally get things back from exile. There are only a handful of cards in the history of Magic that let you pluck things from exile and put them back in the game. This lets you do that to an opponent as a deal. Like, that's if you play a game and you're able to give an opponent an exiled card, let us know, because that's the coolest thing.
Well, I'm sitting here just like, you know what? That Mimic Vat that's got that really nasty thing in it, I don't want it to be there anymore.
Yeah, that's not imprinted on them. I mean, you're right. Imprinted cards. Isochron Scepter. Anything that's exiled face up, you can remove that from the imprint. There's so many possibilities for such a simple card.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty slick.
Yes.
I do like it. Next card here, Consuming Ashes. Two black for an instant. Exile target creature. If it had mana value 3 or less, surveil 2. Surveil as a reminder. Look at the top card of your library. Then put any number of them into your graveyard and the rest on top of your library in any order. So it's weird scry. If you didn't remember, because I didn't. I knew kind of what it did. I knew I looked at things. I didn't remember where they went. Consuming Ashes. 4 mana. Exile a thing with some upside. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it is a common, and we can see that. It's extremely overcosted, even in black, which I do not think should be exiling spot creatures. But I mean, here we are. Black can do whatever. So you can pay 4 mana, exile a creature at instant speed. If that creature happens to have mana value 3 or less, then you get to do some filtering, maybe entomb some cards into your graveyard and reanimate them later. It is a common. It is overcosted. But this is spot removal. This is the kind of thing we talk about, Mike.
Yeah, it's not bad. I'm not banging down the doors for it or anything like that. But, I mean, cool. Makes sense.
Let's go from the lowest rarity to the highest rarity.
Yeah, holy cow. Greed's Gambit. 3 and a black for a mythic enchantment. When Greed's Gambit enters the battlefield, you draw 3 cards, gain 6 life, and create 3/2/1 black bat creature tokens with flying. Cool. That's all the card says. No downside.
No,
great
it
card.
Keeps going.
Okay. At the beginning of your end step, you discard a card, lose 2 life, and sacrifice a creature. When Greed's Gambit leaves the battlefield, you discard 3 cards, lose 6 life, and sacrifice 3 creatures.
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, if you ever saw a card that wanted to be donated, this is it.
Counterpoint? If I'm playing an Aristocrats deck, or I'm playing a deck that wants to put stuff in the bin, this is a 4 mana, draw 3, discard 3, sack 3 creatures that I'm making. I mean, that's not bad for four mana. That's what I want to do in a lot of those decks.
Yeah, I mean, as long as this doesn't stay out, it doesn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah,
it's okay for you to have it. But if you're not careful, this can really come back to bite you.
Right, and it is black, which
gets removed. That's very
painful. Well, it gets removed, and you don't want it to be removed. And if it's black, so like, you're going to have a pretty creative way to remove this yourself if you're trying to do it that way. And if somebody removes it for you and you're not looking to remove it, oh, that's a beater.
But Mike, if you're somehow able to play this and then transfer it to another player's control, perhaps with that blue exchange card that we were just playing with, exchange control of two target enchantments, now you got the upside and they have to deal with the downside until they can remove it, at which point they really get hurt.
Yeah. I like the theme of it. It is literally Greed's Gambit. I'm going to do a lot of really cool stuff for four mana. And then it's probably going to end poorly for me.
It's the longer it goes on after that, the more you get burned.
Very cool. You know what, though? Four mana is not enough for me. I need bigger Battlecruiser. So let's talk about Heartless Conscription. Six black for a sorcery. Exile all creatures. For each card exiled this way, you may play that card for as long as it remains exiled, and mana of any type can be spent to cast that spell. Exile Heartless Conscription.
Oh, my God.
Woo-wee!
Wow.
Gonti got an upgrade.
This is a hell of a board wipe. Yes, you are spending 8 mana at sorcery speed for a board wipe. However, that board wipe is mass
exile, and on which
top
is great.
Of that, as long as they remain exiled, so that's for the rest of the game.
Yep.
You can play any of them. So all the stuff that you just hit that was important enough to blow up can now be yours.
Very cool. That's the kind of Battlecruiser beater that I'm like, yep, give me it. I love this.
It's very splashy.
Holy cow. That's nuts. Moving on to a mythic here. Hostile Investigator, 3 and a black for a 4/3 Ogre Rogue Detective. We're going to call that an Ord from now on. Whenever Hostile Investigator enters the battlefield, target opponent discards a card. Whenever one or more players discard one or more cards, investigate. This ability triggers only once each turn. Okay, so when a player discards a card for the first time on a turn, you get to make a clue token. Cool.
Yeah, I think that's any kind of black hand attack, any kind of waste knot, all that stuff is going to love, oh, you're discarding? I'm just get free value.
Yeah. I mean, 4 mana for a 4/3 that makes somebody discard and then continues. Cool. Not bad. I don't have a ton to say about it. It's just, okay, cool. If this is the theme or something your deck cares about, sounds like it would do pretty well.
Which, that is group slug and stacks, you're going to get benefit off of that.
You know, it's been a while since we went on a spree, so let's do it back to back here. First with Insatiable Avarice, black for a sorcery with spree for an additional 2 generic mana. Search your library for a card, then shuffle and put that card on top. It's a tutor. And for an additional 2 black, so black, target player draws 3 cards and loses 3 life. Okay.
This is a nice modal spell.
That really is. Okay. 3 mana tutor, 3 mana draw 3, lose 3.
And if you do both, then you...
5 mana, draw 3. Hand. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
And it's because this is black, this is why I love black. Black is okay with an effect that's just a normal effect saying target player.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what... there's so few cards that are willing to say that. They'll say, okay, you lose life. You draw cards. No, black says, listen, you can do this to whoever you want to. Even if it gives them an advantage, that's okay.
Target player has 2 life. Target player, I would like you to draw 3 cards and lose 3 life. It's still the best way to...
Lose 3 for triple black, I'll take
not
that.
Not bad.
I'll take that.
I still say the best way to kill somebody is to make them draw cards and they lose life off of the card draw. It just... Okay, here you go.
So you're a big Nekusar fan is what's happening.
I'm not, but... I'm not. I don't mind it. I like it as like a spell where I'm going to cast a spell and I'd like target player to draw 3 cards. And lose their life. Like, I'd love to kill somebody with Insatiable Avarice.
I think this is highly playable. You have this nice tutor.
Oh, yeah.
You have a 3 mana draw effect. And if you want it, then that's 5 mana for draw 3 and tutor.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Rush of Dread is our next one here. One black for a sorcery with Spree. For an additional generic mana, target opponent sacrifices half the creatures they control, rounded up. That's very good. For an additional two generic mana, target opponent discards half the cards in their hand, rounded up. That's woof. Okay. And then we get to an extra beater here. For an additional two generic mana, target opponent loses half of their life, rounded up.
Well, shoot.
Wow.
Are you going to spread the hate? Or are you going to make the archenemy bend the knee? Like, what are you planning with this? This is so mean.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think this is a... I think you can only target, like, two people with this at most. Because if you target three, it doesn't matter how far ahead you are or how far ahead one of them is. You are the enemy at that point.
Right.
That's rough. Holy cow.
You want to... be careful what enemies you're making. You'd hopefully use this on someone who's already your enemy.
Right, or at least you can justify, like, hey, you're at 60 life. You need to lose some of that.
So they sacrifice
half their but I'm really hurting this person.
They discard half their hand. They lose half their life total. You're breaking their kneecaps. Like, this is such a devastating effect.
Well, even... Okay, so... We look at all of it, it's 8 mana, and you can do all this crazy, like, super mean stuff, and that's true.
You may not need to attack their life total. They may not have a lot of creatures on the board. They may not have
right.
They may not have cards in hand. So
well,
you can sculpt it.
Right, and when I look at it, it's like, okay, would I pay 5 mana to make somebody lose half of their life total? I mean, if they're starting at 40, if they're even at 30, 15 life for 5 mana, cool. 5 mana, discard 4 cards. That sounds pretty good to me. 4 mana, sacrifice half of your creatures, round it up. Depending on what they're doing, that's... All of these are pretty good on their own effect.
They're not particularly overcosted.
No. And then, all right, the ability to all of it. Very good. Next one here, targeted removal. Shoot the sheriff! One in a black for an instant.
Shot the sheriff.
Now we'll get to that flavor text for an instant. Destroy target non-outlaw creature. So, outlaw, another thing. Yes,
a new hey,
template. I'll take this one, Alex. I'll take the new
it,
rules
Mike.
On it. All right, ready?
No problem.
So here's the thing. Assassins, mercenaries, pirates, rogues, and warlocks. Those are outlaws. As a reminder text, assassins, mercenaries, pirates, rogues, and warlocks are outlaws. Everyone else is fair game.
Okay,
I love
the
everyone else.
Best flavor text.
I mean,
it wins.
Well, so that's just
everyone
reminder
else
text.
Is fair game.
And then the bottom of this, why this card is so good. You referred to it. Flavor text. Now, where is that deputy?
He's fair
so
game.
Good. So good. Okay.
When people saw outlaw. Their first question was, when are we getting this for sea creatures? Because,
okay.
Oh my gosh, there are so many cards that are either adjacent to sea creatures or they are
oh,
sea creatures.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Kraken, octopus, fish, whatever, mm-hmm. all the sea creatures are. And it has to list them every time. And sometimes you're playing with sea creatures, but it like only hits some of them. Like sea creatures
right.
should be a...
like a sub theme. Yeah. No, I get that. That's very cool. This card itself, we don't have to talk about it a ton.
It's
two mana,
like your Doomblade, your very standard.
Yeah.
Removal. Yep.
Yeah. Except for, hey, we're now more worried about type and very narrow types that we're trying not to hit.
You know, it's
so
flavorful.
Cool. I like that. Let's go to Tiny Bones joins up. Black for legendary enchantment. When Tiny Bones joins up, enters the battlefield, any number of target players each discard a card. Whenever a legendary creature enters the battlefield under your control, any number of target players each mill a card and lose one life. Ooh.
Now, the important thing about this is it's one mana. One mana for
yeah.
that.
Yeah. One mana. Turn one, everybody discard a card. Cool. I'm going to play Tiny Bones on turn two. All right. Everybody mill a card and lose a life. You're setting a standard with
Ooh,
this.
That's group slug, Mike.
That sure
you are,
is.
You're slowly chipping away at their resources, and what a cost.
Yeah, and even better, it's target players. So, okay, great. Oh, you're a mill deck? You're a graveyard deck? All right, great. You can keep your cards. Don't worry
yeah,
about
that's
it,
what's
buddy.
Important, right? You can make sure that you're hitting the people who need to be hurt.
Is that Marin of Clan Neltoth? You know, we're gonna keep all your cards in your hand.
We're not
very
gonna
cool.
have you doing any mill. That's not necessary.
Yeah. Next one here, we've got Alex, unfortunately, we've had an unfortunate accident.
You got a train to catch.
Yeah, that too. Black for an instant with Spree. You can pay an additional 2 generic and a black to destroy target creature. You can also pay an additional 1 to create a 1/1 red mercenary creature token with tap. Target creature you control gets +1/+0 until end of turn. Activate only as a sorcery. Interesting. So we can pump a creature we control. We can destroy things. All right, fair enough. It doesn't seem like an accident, though, Alex.
I mean, you do have an overcost to destroy target creature. You can make a token off of the back of it. I'm not sure there's a ton to say here.
No, other than the fact that this card art doesn't look like an accident. Like, that's a very tied up person.
No, this was not an accident.
No,
and the flavor text alludes to that.
Yeah, looks like you got a train to catch. There it is. Let's move on to the multicolor here. Assimilation Aegis. 1 white blue for an artifact equipment. Oh, we're talking equipment. You know I'm excited. When Assimilation Aegis enters the battlefield, exile up to 1 target creature until Assimilation Aegis, that's a mouthful, leaves the battlefield. Whenever Assimilation Aegis becomes attached to a creature for as long as Assimilation Aegis remains attached to it, that creature becomes a copy of a creature card exiled with Assimilation Aegis. Okay. O-ring something. What you attach this O-ring to becomes the thing that you exiled with O-ring.
Isn't that nifty?
That's really cool. Oh, man. Why is this the first time they've come up with this? That's such a cool concept.
Yeah, Assimilation Aegis is... That's a really cool idea. And just harkening back, this is the combined trigger. No shenanigans with this. Although, because you can play with equipment, I mean, I'm sure Mike can come up with some interesting ways to break this.
Oh, I'm already, like... Feeding the frenzy
on this. And what's more, this is the standard raid for an O-ring. This is not like a higher-costed O-ring that has another effect on it. This is just the new standard.
And the equip cost is 2. So it's not crazy by any means. Like,
no, it's not.
The idea of, hey, I like your commander. Cool. I am going to make this shield equip. Target creature becomes your commander. That's awesome.
Well, they're not going to leave their commander in exile.
I know, I know.
The command zone, and then Assimilation, you just can't see it anymore.
It's still cool.
Yeah.
I do like that. Next, we move on to a legendary here.
This is it. This is the one.
This is the one?
This is the one.
Okay. Kambal, the Profiteering Mayor, 1 white black for a legendary creature human advisor, 2/4. Ooh, we like that. Whenever 1 or more tokens enter the battlefield under your opponent's control, for each of them, create a tap token that's a copy of it. This ability triggers only once each turn.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever 1 or more tokens enter the battlefield under your control, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life. Whole.
Mike, I think that I speak for both of us when I say that if we were to build this deck, we would not leave the opponents making tokens to chance. We would stuff their board full of tokens, which is my favorite thing to do.
That's pretty good.
Crawling horse coming to mind. Mm-hmm. Lots of different effects in white and black that can do things like that. Really cool idea for a card. Very, very nice. I like this one.
And not like, don't get me wrong. It's a scary concept, but I love when 1 or more tokens enter the battlefield under your control. So it's not a, oh, well, I've made a billion things. Haha. It's no, I need to be able to make a thing over and over and over and over again for this to become busted, as opposed to anything else. I mean, dig it.
It says whenever 1 or more and you make a copy of each, so I'm not sure exactly what you're alluding to. Because
the bottom part.
Just once per turn.
You're doing it once per turn. I'm talking about the second part of the ability. Whenever 1 or more tokens enter the battlefield under your control, each opponent. So I don't care if I've made, they made 20 treasure tokens. Well, I make 20 treasure tokens. That's
just
cool.
That's just the life swing trigger, right? It's not about the amount. It's about the fact that you gain life and they
lost life. It happened.
And you're in white and black. You can definitely build off of that. Belbin loves that.
No, this is a cool card. That might be something worth building, or at least examining whether I'm building it.
It's such a cool idea. I already love making group hug decks that give opponents tokens. And this is specifically saying, do this to enrich yourself, and also, like, you can build it in the unique white-black direction, full of interesting politics and spot removal and board wipes.
We love the Sylvan Offering type card, so the idea of, like, making a deck that's kind of based off of that theme, I would like to give everybody stuff. The hunted it's,
yeah,
creatures.
Whenever like, I hunt.
Here you go. That's very cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move on to a mythic here. White, black, pest control. So 2 mana for a sorcery. Destroy all non-land permanents with mana value 1 or less. It also has cycling for 2 generic, so you can discard it to draw a card. That's good.
Now, I'm not a CEDH player, but it seems to me the higher power your meta is, the better this gets.
Yeah.
Because if you have a bunch of people running things like Mana Crypt and Soul Ring and not Moxen, but, you know, the Moxen that are...
Yeah.
Lots
no, for
of
sure.
zero-cost stuff, one-cost stuff, boom, blow it out 2 mana, no problem.
Get rid of it all. You can cycle it to get the... you know what? I'm not in a meta that's going to matter. This card's going to matter much. Cool. Tokens. Just a bunch of tokens. Great. We're going to get rid of all
gone.
Those.
Yep. As long as they're
very
not
cool.
copies of other permanents.
Right. No, that's... It's very cool. It's... That is streamlined design, and I like that.
Like,
very good.
Warzov just keeps getting the bleeding edge of board wipes. Now, is this the best board wipe ever printed? No, it's a niche, but still.
It's the best version of that kind of board wipe ever printed,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Next one here, Ruthless Lawbringer. 1 white-black for a creature, Vampire Assassin. It's a 3/2. Whenever Ruthless Lawbringer enters the battlefield, you may sacrifice another creature. When you do, destroy target non-land permanent. Okay, so it's like a super strong exploit here.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
On
ETB, you can blink it as you do. Mm-hmm. Working your sacrifice, presumably you're doing some aristocrats, you're doing some kind of sacrifice deck, and you're also... You're also getting that edict effect. Somebody else, you're going to have to destroy target non-land permanent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a solid
It's not
trigger.
Bad.
Yeah,
it's not bad. Sacrifice
this is
something.
Definitely spot removal.
Sacrifice something you don't care about or something that you want to sacrifice anyway. Non-land permanent is pretty good. Like, I'm used to seeing that. It's like, destroy target specific thing.
Yeah, you sacrifice
non-land
a
permanent.
Creature, but you get to destroy a non-land permanent.
That's pretty solid. That said... this is one of the ones I was excited to talk to you about on the previous spoilers.
Yes.
Ariette the Beguiler. 1 white-blue-black for a legendary creature human warlock, 4/4 with lifelink. Whenever an aura you control becomes attached to a non-land permanent and an opponent controls with mana value less than or equal to that aura's mana value, gain control of that permanent for as long as that aura is attached to it.
Oh, my God. God.
So fun for me!
Wow, that is a brand new deck type.
Oh my gosh, auras that care about putting auras onto smaller things. Such a cool concept to me. I know it's me. The Battlecruiser version of it. Eldrazi conscription.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? But like, the idea of just like, I'm going to put this 2-mana aura on your soul ring. It's my soul ring now. I'm going to put the, like, this,
Let's talk
I
about
like this a lot.
The finer points of this, right? Because this isn't necessarily easily understood. You might think, erroneously, that if this commander were bounced or destroyed, that the control trading effects would end. No.
Nope.
No.
It's the aura.
As long as the aura is attached to it, that means that Ariette does not need to be in play for this effect to remain in force. And if they want to deal with this, they will have to deal with it on an aura by aura basis.
Yeah,
that makes this very difficult to gain an advantage over.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
You can't let her sit on the table.
Yeah, there is no killing the snake by cutting off the head kind of thing.
You have
no.
to kill the snake before it bites.
Yeah. That's very good.
The alternative is you'd have to remove each individual aura, which, I mean, that... How many spot removal enchantments do you... Enchantment spot removal do you have in your deck?
Right. At that point, you're just basically wiping every time.
The Ariette player is prepared with more auras than you have aura removal.
Right. And specifically in these colors, where it's like...
You're reeling enchantments in these colors. You're white, blue, and black.
And the ability to deal with other people trying to target stuff. Like, all right, great. Here's my counter spells. Okay, great. I'm going to recur things. I'm going to bring these auras back into my hand from the graveyard when they get blown up. Stuff like that. Very cool.
Brand new Enchantress style archetype with thievery. And she just incidentally is a lifelinker 4/4.
Yeah. A 4/4 4/4 for 4 with lifelink. Good. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, there's some power in this deck.
Let's move on to colorless here. And yes. That's a cool card. Boombox. 2 mana for an artifact. You can pay 6 and sacrifice the boombox to destroy up to 1 target artifact, up to 1 target creature, and up to 1 target land. So
they've created some kind of shrapnel bomb here with horseshoes.
Yes, the cruel irony of explosives is they're most interesting exactly when you should be running away as fast as you can. That's a good point. Okay. Yeah. But so that's when I want to look most.
This is a rattlesnake. Now the activation cost is extremely high because it's colorless.
Yeah.
And because it's an uncommon.
And however, because it's up to.
Mike, this is a decimate style effect where you're just scattershot hitting multiple things.
And without the requirement.
Rattlesnake.
Yeah, this is so cool. I love this thing.
They don't know when you're going to press the dynamite stick down. They don't know.
Right.
It's going to happen at some point.
And like, yeah, 6 mana to activate it is a lot. 8 mana to get it out and activate it is a lot.
I won't lie to you, that's a lot. However, you're in colorless, and when you're in colorless, Mike, you pay the colorless tax, which means everything you want to do now costs more.
I don't feel like people that are playing in colorless decks or that are playing in artifact-based decks are going to be really blinking too much at the cost of 6 mana sacrifice.
I'll tell you right now, this is one of the best removal pieces in colorless, which is very funny because it's not that aggressively costed at all.
No, and most, more important...
Most removal in colorless is like 5-7 mana for one thing.
The craziest thing about this to me is you sacrifice it. It doesn't say exile it. Yeah, like, okay, great. Yeah, I'm going to recur this artifact. Cool.
Set up the dynamite again.
Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. Very cool. Next one. Very exciting.
Yes.
Bounty board. 3 mana for an artifact. It's a mana rock. You can tap it to add 1 mana of any color. You can pay 1 and tap it to put a bounty counter on target creature. Activate only as a sorcery. We love that. Whenever a creature with a bounty counter on it dies, each of its controller's opponents draws a card and gains 2 life. This got brought up in our Discord and the spoilers, and I very much was like, yes, this, yeah. these small
but growing cadre of
creatures
and effects that care about bounty counters specifically. Mm-hmm. And some of those are commanders. It's not Gwalfa Hazid. What's the Mardu one?
Mathis. Yeah.
Mathis. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I've wanted to make it forever. And I'm just like, it's not quite there for me yet,
right.
But bit by bit, bit
now
by
it's
bit.
Kind of like a signature spell thing going on. Like, yes, now we're starting to see, and this is a standalone effect. You don't have to have a Mathis deck to run this.
No, it thrives on it. But like, here's the thing. When we get into like the 3 mana rocks, it's like, all right, it's 3 mana for me to
mana rock with massive upside.
But the upside is great. And that's the point. It's usually the, okay, 3 mana for a mana rock better have a pretty stellar upside. This one is maybe, some people might disagree. It's a stellar one for me. I love this because it plays in our play style. Yeah.
I mean, how often am I using this as a mana rock? I'm using this as a bounty count.
Yeah. And the activate only as a sorcery part of it, I like that because it keeps things from getting a little bit too cheap.
I would have used that on everyone else's turn.
I know you would, buddy. I get why it says that, because people like you and me would go, but it's still very good.
You get a bounty.
Yeah.
You're all getting bounties.
Yeah. Everybody's going to draw cards because everything's going to die at some point. Yay.
Let's talk about the actual effect of marking something with a bounty counter.
Mm-hmm.
And now it has a bounty on its head. Is that enough to encourage other people to spot remove it? Maybe so. Maybe that's something that is going to die anyway, and you might as well get a benefit out of it.
Right. Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm playing at more than anything. It's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to put this on stuff that nobody wants out there except for the person who has it anyway.
Yeah, and it's like, well, I was going to wait to spot remove that, but I might as well do it now.
Right. The only thing that does matter on this is we do have to specifically remember it's dies, not... leaves the battlefield.
Yes.
So,
and does means moves from the battlefield to the graveyard specifically. It does not have to be destroyed. It doesn't have to be sacrificed. It just has to go to the graveyard.
Right. So we you know, maybe avoid your targeting your indestructibles and stuff like that with bounty counters, though. It would be cool to be like, I'm going to put a bounty on this god. Very, very...
Well, if you make them sacrifice it, that still counts.
And that does still count. Which, honestly, at that point... that's a cool little metagame win by yourself anyway. Hey, so Umizawa's Jite is pretty good.
Yeah, 2.0 here.
Holy cow.
Nobody so can agree whether this is good or bad, but...
Are you kidding me?
They can't. They can't agree.
Okay. Well, we'll read the card out, and then I'll put my name in the ring as somebody who thinks that those people are silly that don't agree.
Well, it's not just in Commander. They're talking about, like, Standard and stuff.
Oh, fine. Even so, I disagree. Anyway, Lost Jite. One mana for a legendary artifact. It's equipment with a quick cost 1. Whenever equipped creature deals combat damage, put a charge counter on Lost Jite. Remove a charge counter from Lost Jite. Choose one. Untap target land. Target creature can't block this turn. Put a +1/+1 counter on equipped creature. So,
and it's equipped for 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go
for it. Let's hear.
What's the downside on this?
Okay. So the downside is in an environment where you're playing this very straight-laced,
mm-hmm.
you're dealing individual instances of combat damage. You're not double striking. You're not going infinite in combat.
Yeah.
It can be a bit slow. However, in the game of Commander, that's not the only way to work with this. You can get one charge counter on it and then start proliferating, start multiplying counters.
Sure. Doubling.
And now you have, oh my gosh, you've got a trading post, you've got a shop. Like, this is so cool. Untap target land, that is mana donation. That's giving people access to utility lands in other people's turns. Untap the Maze of Ith. Untap whatever they need to use. Untap your own stuff for extra mana. Mm-hmm. Target creature can't block this turn. I mean, you can set up very favorable attacks. There's so much interesting stuff here as long as you are allowed to accelerate it with counter manipulation.
See, and that all, absolutely. I'm sitting here just on the plane of... if I hit something with this once, or if I equip this, and then I just have a really cool blocker up, okay. Because it deals combat damage. So if it's a blocker and it deals damage to a creature because you block with said creature, okay, there's a charge counter on this.
Yes.
And then on my.
Into anything.
Yeah. No. The target creature can't block this turn on an equipment, and it's a one mana equipment. To equip for 1, that is so aggressively costed to put it in a position to start going. I love this card.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it has a lot of really powerful options.
Mm-hmm.
Untap target land is great. Target creature can't block this turn is great. +1/+1 counter to equip creature is less great. But I guess if you want to do proliferation, you might as well proliferate the creature
that,
too.
That or it just kind of depends on the creature that you're trying to get it to. Right. Like, if I don't know. I'm not sitting here saying it's an absolute beater. It goes in every equipment deck or anything like that. But even just the value of, okay, I'm going to do a total of 2 mana invested into this thing. And then from that point on, anytime I attack, I'm untapping a land, whether it's my land or somebody else's land, which is very cool.
I'd say you really want this if you're doing a repeated combat deck where you're doing multiple combat phases, multiple double strikes, or you're doing proliferation, both of which those are not uncommon deck archetypes.
Sure. But I'm also looking at it as in the, okay, great. I'm going to just keep attacking with this thing. I'm going to try and put charge counters on it. Great. Now it's not when it deals damage, you can remove a counter. It's you just remove it whenever you've got one.
That is,
I'm going to make
modal ability.
I'm going to make blocks impossible for other people's turns. I'm going to try and make, like, okay, great. Hey, I attacked with this thing. Cool. There's a charge counter on it. I put it on a 1/1 token. It dies. Cool. Whatever. I still got my charge counter. Somebody else. Okay. Hey, if you go attack this person, I'm going to make sure their big thing that we're worried about, it can't block this turn. So you can get through. Stuff like that. Like, I'm all for it. That's very cool.
I'm really looking at untapped target land, right? Because you have you have this ability to, you can have a cache of mana available to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can
untap a Maze of Ith. You can whatever.
Understand just how powerful it is to be able to sit at the table and say, "Well, I see that you're deliberating over which spells to cast. would one mana make a difference? And the answer a lot of the time is yes, it would.
Yeah.
And you can really start to make some interesting deals happen with that, Mike.
Right. This is a more interesting GTA. It's not a more powerful GTA, I don't think. But it's interesting one.
It is remarkably interesting.
I'm all for it.
Yes.
Moving on to our last card here. We talked about deserts mattering a little bit more and coming back and all this cool stuff. So let's end with a desert. Sandstorm Verge. It's a land desert, funny enough. You can tap it to add a colorless mana specifically. You can also pay 3 and tap it. Target creature can't block this turn. Activate only as a sorcery. So not as many of the shenanigans as we were just potentially talking about, but I mean, 3 mana, tap, this thing isn't blocking. I'm all for that.
Yeah, I mean, we do have other, you know, colorless lands like Rogue's Passage that, and what is it, Secret Stairwell?
That can manipulate. Suspicious Staircase or whatever. Oh, wait, that's unblockable, isn't it? Yeah.
Manifold Key has creature can't be blocked.
Yep.
It's colorless. But target creature can't block this turn. This is interesting, and we just talked about Lost Jitte, which has this other ability to make sure that creatures can't block.
Yeah. No, it's very slick. Having 3 mana isn't too bad. I think I'm okay with that.
You don't have to sacrifice it.
No, and that's the point. It's repeatable.
Yeah.
So
add a sorcery. Yeah.
It's there as a, I'm not building this entire theme around this card doing this thing, but maybe I'm trying to manipulate blocks and this is a cool card that doesn't come in tapped or anything like that. Great. It's here, and if I need to make something not block on my turn, I can do that.
Now, cool. This does seem incredibly self-serving, and since it's a sorcery, you can't spread the love with this. You can't manipulate other people's combat with this. So why are we talking about it? Well, we're talking about it because if that's sitting on the board, now any opponent who antagonizes you knows that if you attack in, you can make sure that at least one of their creatures cannot block. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That kind of thing can really put a finger on the scale.
You can kind of weird menace a creature in its own kind of weird way where it's like, all right,
you don't have to use this to make it work.
Nope. It's there's not a downside to it. The worst case scenario is it's a land that taps for colorless that you do not have to come in tapped.
You sacrifice this to your scavenger grounds and blow up their
The worst case scenario is you use this for the red card we talked about, and I'm going to make a tap treasure token.
Mike, let's talk about our favorite card this set. I have my answer. What's your answer?
You go ahead, because I need to look back.
It's Comble.
Yeah.
So
that's fair.
I think I've already made at least 3, possibly 4 different group hug decks that care about giving opponents creatures, and yet I'm still intrigued by the possibilities for this deck. This
I have
is
to
so
ask,
cool.
Are you going to build that? Because that I think that would be a
That's
very
a
cool
big
card.
If.
I'm just saying it'd be a cool one for you to build.
It
I think
would. I'll say this. If I build it into an online list only, that itself would be a feat. If I build it in the paper, I mean it's the world's ending. I build decks so seldomly because cards really do have to speak to me. This could be one of those, but I don't know, Mike. We'll just have to see. I think that is super cool. I'm really pleased with it. I've wanted to have a really interesting Orzhov commander for some time. Mm-hmm. I think Linvala and Lavinia was an interesting looking one, but it was really mean. Really mean card. This is quite a bit nicer.
I agree. Man, I've got a bunch. I'm narrowing it down to 4.
To 4?
Yeah.
What's your favorite? Well, 4.
So here's the thing. I like Shifting Grift a lot as a card.
That's a very cool card.
That said, I don't play. I realize this about myself. I don't play a lot of blue.
Is there enough to like make an exchange deck? Just like all exchange?
Oh, I'm sure there is. You just have to. You'd have to really
have
work
to
at it.
Yeah.
Like I. You.
Sorry,
you have made
about
a
blue. You're, you
no.
Blue.
I, it's not that I don't play blue. I don't play a lot of decks that blue is like the main factor in.
You have a Seared
You know what I mean?
Deck.
I do have a Seared In deck, and that deck is mostly green.
That's funny. I have a Vanifar deck, and the deck is very much green and blue because you're not getting the control aspect from green. That comes from blue.
Right. Yeah, here's the thing. I Like, I know I could put that into a deck or two, and that, like, that card is better than me putting it into a deck or two for me. I really like that card. I just, I wouldn't utilize it as much as I think I should. I really like the Ariette card.
She's a brand new archetype.
Just because it's fun.
Sparks are flying from their heads brewing the stuff she can do.
It comes down to Bounty Board or Assimilation Aegis. And I think I'm just going to give it to Bounty Board because Assimilation Aegis says Assimilation Aegis on it too many times. And it makes me uncomfortable reading the card. So I'm going to go with Bounty Board.
Bounty Board is a great pick. I'm a fan of this. This might find its way into Emrakul just because it's so fun. But it's really hard to find a spot for it, right?
For sure. I'm just excited for you to, like, target your own Emrakul and be like, you know what? I was a little mean that last turn with that Mindslaver. You know, Emrakul's going to have a bounty on it. Okay, now I'm going to kill Emrakul. Everybody go ahead and draw a card.
The most common way for Emrakul to die is I sacrifice Emrakul.
Yeah.
That's what happens most of the time.
You got to get it back out there as soon as possible.
But, you know, she went to the graveyard before she went to the command zone. So, boom, that's dying.
That
means the bounty went off. And, wow. Well, Mike, so many. We didn't talk about committing crimes.
No.
Just real quick, committing a crime means that you used a spell or ability, some kind of effect that targets at least one thing. No matter how many things it targets, it's still only one crime. And that's a triggered ability that will go on the stack after you have put your spell or ability on the stack. Very simple. I think the only thing that people were confused about is if one spell could commit multiple crimes. No, it can't.
Well, you forgot about the other thing that the crime is. So it's also committing a crime. If you don't, go ahead and look over at our Patreon.com at Social Contract EDH or search for the Social Contract and Patreon's homepage. Check out our show notes for a direct link there and also a direct link to our Discord server. There, it's easy to ask Judge Alex for rules questions, look at really cool cards, and suggest topics for the show. I think our next one, we've had one in the wings here. We're doing a deck tech for one of our patrons that I'm very excited about. We got to get the specifics for that done, but I am excited to do that.
We have to stay caught up with the sets, Mike.
And I need to stop getting sick. Busy. If somebody wouldn't mind just taking care of my rent so I could just focus on my health and that's all I had to do, man, I'd pump out this show like at least once a week.
Pay your rent, but I'll record once a week.
Well, then there you go. That's the crime that we need to commit. But Alex, if anybody had any crime questions, plot questions, spree questions, etc., how would they get a hold of you?
Yeah, if you want to talk to me about like doing crime, going on sprees, I'm down for that. You can find me on Twitter at Labermedic, LAPPERMEDIC. You can also find all of my projects on my link tree, which is at lapper.gay, LAPPER.GAY. My other project that you may have heard of is the Commander Spellbook, which is a search engine for combos in EDH. We do have our Thunder Junction / Big Score list with all of the combos that we could think of in this major Thunder Junction sort of multi-set release. You know how they've released like multiple simultaneous sets.
Yeah.
So if you heard about any of the cards we talked about today, maybe you saw one that we didn't talk about and you're like, wow, that seems like that could go infinite with something. You're probably right. Let's just head over to Commander Spellbook and find out.
Very cool. Very cool. Everybody, I know we didn't talk about partner in this deck, set. But partner up. Make sure you do that with a D, not with a T. And everybody, in the meantime, be safe out there. Take care of yourselves.
The old dusty trail.
We'll talk to you soon.